You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
In 1984, police raided a 1,300-acre ranch in Texas. They were surprised and they were stunned. They discovered seven men and one woman being held against their will. Under what was called terribly degrading conditions, these people had been forced into modern-day slavery. And when they tried to escape, they were chained and they were tortured. In its report of this ugly incident, Newsweek magazine used the bold headlines, Shock Time in Texas. And such headlines are understandable, because every time a case of modern-day slavery is exposed, the public is outraged. For this same reason, we must always remember that modern-day slavery takes place also in religion. This is why we read in the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 23, "You were bought with a price. Therefore, do not become slaves of men." Simply put, God in His Word is saying that Jesus, through His bloody death on the cross, paid the price for your sins. Thus, you need no more worry about paying for your past failures. Through sincere repentance and faith in Jesus Christ, you today can enjoy a clean conscience and a new start. And what is even more encouraging for you is that no one dare make any more rules and requirements of you, enslaving you and demanding of you what you must do or how you must pay for your past failures. In His holy word, God is speaking to you today when He says, "You have been bought with a price." That is, your sins have already been paid for. Therefore, don't let anybody ever enslave you in all types of things that you must do to redeem yourself. St. Paul then went on to explain that the only true religion in the whole world is the religion which focuses squarely upon Jesus Christ. And when you trust in Jesus Christ, God declares you free from the curse of your sin. Real religion focuses faith upon the Savior. It centers all attention upon what Jesus Christ has already done in order to save you and me from our sin. On the other hand, false religions constantly require individuals to follow certain legalistic rules in order to be saved. And in so doing, they make religious slaves out of people. The one approach reflects the power of the liberating gospel and the spirit of life, and the other approach offers only the terrible odor of earthly slavery and eventually eternal death. No wonder then St. Paul told the congregation at Galatia, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery." Spiritual or religious slavery is very subtle. And we can see evidence of this in the Bible. In the Gospel of John chapter 6, we read that great crowds followed Jesus. And in their attempt to gain the Savior's favor, these throngs approached Jesus and said, "Rabbi, what must we do to do the works of God?" This question, of course, sounds very innocent, but let's take another close look at it. Now, did you catch the gist or the real meaning of the question? These people said to Jesus, "What must we do?" And of course, when they said this, these well-intentioned individuals were thinking very much along the same lines that many of us think today. We always want to place ourselves in a position where we, ourselves, can accomplish our own salvation. This wrong approach to religion is inevitable every time we ignore the central message of the Bible. "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God," the Bible says, "sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved." From start to finish, the Bible declares that salvation is a gracious act of a merciful God. You and I are saved only and alone through what God has done, and not one iota from our own meager efforts. Therefore, if we open the pages of the Bible and meditate upon its central message, the perfect life, the terrible suffering and death, and the victorious resurrection of Jesus, then our entire thinking is changed. Oh, we will no longer be living in religious slavery. We will no longer be tempted to try to earn heaven by living religiously. Instead, our hearts will be filled with great joy as we realize that our salvation does not result from something we do, but simply comes as a gift to us, as a result of what God has already accomplished for us. This was all done by God the Father when He sent His own Son to die for you and me on the cross. Oh, my friends, in our generation, it is often so difficult to realize that in the early church, a great struggle existed between those who insisted that through His own death, Jesus accomplished everything necessary for our salvation. This conviction was different from those, on the other hand, who maintained that man must help or at least cooperate in his salvation. We can see this in the missionary work of St. Paul. This evangelist was constantly followed and badgered by promoters of false religion. Many times the apostle would tell the waiting crowds, "You were bought with a price." And therefore, he explained, you don't have to put yourself through rigorous religious exercises trying to win God's favor. But St. Paul's Christ-centered message of the good news did not go unchallenged. The religious slave drivers were not far behind. They took issue with the central message of this famous missionary, and as soon as St. Paul finished telling the crowds the good news that Jesus Christ had done everything necessary for their salvation, then these religious slave drivers often took over. They provided the bad news. They said to the people, "Oh yes, it is true that Jesus died for you. However," they added, "there are still religious rules that you must follow if you hope to live in God's favor every day and if you hope to eventually go to heaven." So now, my friend, as you listen today, let us think this situation through very carefully. Let us say that you were in prison, accused of a major crime, and then one day, out of the pure graciousness of his heart, your governor decided to grant you a complete pardon, no questions asked, and absolutely no strings attached. And even though you are totally guilty, the governor, by the authority vested in him, has decreed that you are to go totally free. Now, this indeed would be great news. Wouldn't you agree? And so then, let's proceed a bit further. What would you say today if, after the governor has given you a complete pardon, the messenger who brings you the good news of the governor's actions would, on his own, change the message? He would add a few requirements of his own. The governor, of course, did not stipulate these requirements, but it is what the messenger on his own decided to do. I am sure that you would be outraged. The messenger has no right to add these requirements. And when we understand this, we can also better understand why St. Paul says in his opening chapter of his letter to the Galatians, "If any man proclaims to you a gospel contrary to that which you received, let him be accursed." By this statement, St. Paul pronounced the most severe judgment of God upon all people who preach or teach that the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ is not adequate for our salvation, and that man's cooperative efforts are necessary. And so the next time you wonder whether your life has any value, remember that you were bought with a price, and the full payment was made by the innocent blood of Jesus Christ. Your self-esteem at this hour may be at an all-time low. Ideas of worthlessness may even be passing through your mind regularly. Nevertheless, my friend, every time these temptations of Satan try to drag you down, trust in the good news that somebody cares for you so much that Jesus paid the ultimate price. Yes, that He gave His life for you. Others in life may reject you. They may turn the other way. But your loving Savior never will. Your Savior Jesus bought you for a price, and our limited minds can never fathom the Savior's suffering. Isaiah the prophet described it well when he said, Jesus was pierced through for our transgressions, and he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being fell upon him, and by his scourging we are healed. Isaiah continues by saying, "All of us like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned unto his own way, but the Lord in his mercy has caused the iniquity of us all to fall upon Jesus." Oh yes, my friends, you were bought with a price. And as his hour to pay this price for your sins approached, Jesus experienced horrible agony. He voluntarily placed himself under the load and the curse of the sins of the whole world. Your sins and mine were included, every last one of them. Just a few hours before his trial and crucifixion, Jesus took his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane to be alone. And in the garden, Jesus left the disciples and went a ways off to pray. He fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as thou wilt." A little later, Jesus said, "My Father, if this cannot pass away, unless I drink it, thy will be done." Shortly after this, Jesus was betrayed by Judas into the hands of sinners. With swords and clubs, they took the suffering Savior away. He was brought before the high priest. There, the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order that they might put him to death. And this account I am now sharing with you is taken directly from the Bible. The enemies of the Savior, the Bible says, could not manipulate Jesus as they desired. And so finally the exasperated high priest tore his robes in an act of frustration. Others spit in Jesus' face. They slapped him and they beat him with their fists. Finally, they bound Jesus and they led him away to the governor. All of this Jesus would not have had to endure, but he did this because he loves you. And this is what it means when the Bible says, "You were bought with a price." And when Jesus arrived at the office of the Roman governor, things did not improve. Pontius Pilate acted little better than the high priest. After interrogating the Savior, the governor had Jesus scourged, and then he delivered Jesus to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. They stripped him. They put a scarlet robe on him. And after weaving a crown of thorns, they put this on his head and a reed in his right hand. And then they kneeled before him and mocked him and said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spit on him. And they took a reed and they began to beat on his head. And after they had mocked him, they took off his robe and put his garment on him, and then they led him away to crucify him. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," that is, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, when they heard this, they began saying, "This man is calling for Elijah." Immediately, one of them ran and took a sponge. He filled it with sour wine. He put it on a reed, and then he gave this to Jesus to drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come to save him." Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple in Jerusalem was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the Roman centurion and those who were with him keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, they became very frightened and they said, "Truly this was the Son of God." This, then, is the story of Jesus' crucifixion as it is recorded in the Bible. It is a simple account of what Jesus Christ has done for you. He paid the price for your sin, and he did it willingly. And as the writer of the book of Hebrews states, "For the joy that was set before him, Jesus Christ endured the cross." As you continue in the year of 1989, always remember that you were bought with a price, and it was a high price. Your sins have been paid for, and so don't let anybody ever again make you a religious slave. Don't permit anybody to convince you of all the rules of religion that you need to follow. Jesus Christ has done it all, and he has done it because he loves you in a very special way. Oh, St. Paul says it well as he writes in the book of Romans chapter 5, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have obtained our introduction by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we exalt in the hope of the glory of God. For while we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly." And so when the police raided the ranch in Texas, they set free the 7 men and 1 woman who had been made slaves. And when Jesus Christ died on Calvary's cross, he set all spiritual captives free. Living the Christian life is not living under the burden of countless religious rules. Living the Christian life means living with joy under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This means that you can start every new day with hope. Your sins are forgiven. You have a new slate. Today for you, this is a new beginning. This is the day that the Lord has made for you, and so rejoice and be glad in it. And so, my friend, you were bought with a price. You were bought not with gold or silver, but with the holy, precious blood of Jesus. And so you are now free, and you have a new life in the blood of the Savior. Cling tightly, then, to the joyous promise spoken by St. Paul when he said, "It was for freedom that Christ has set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm, and do not be subject ever again to a yoke of slavery." Amen.